I got an email right before you came on, Fred, from someone who wanted me to ask you, is God a great scientist or a great magician?
I prefer the magician more than the scientist, but the scientist has got to be part of it. Somehow, I see both necessary. I remember when the movie The Matrix first came out, and although I didn't much care for all the violence in the movie, but you need violence to keep people awake.
In Hollywood, you got to do it to sell. You know,
people fall asleep.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, we're so overworked in America that you got to have those kind of spurts of,
got to do it once in a while.
What?
You have to do it once in a while.
They have to do it. But the movie was a very good one. It had a very good idea. And so we as physicists are kind of toying with the Matrix right now. We're playing with it. And that's what all these new experiments that are going on right now at places like the Large Hadron Collider and places like Fermilab here in Batavia, Illinois. We're experimenting. We're trying to unravel the matrix, so to speak. We want to know how this universe comes into being, and we're now playing around with reactions, things at such a small scale that we're really looking at things as they might have been at the time that the universe first came into existence, the so-called Big Bang. And so we're playing with that. And so this is very exciting. This is a very exciting time for physics. And the physicists themselves are kind of agog about this whole thing. And some of them are getting kind of like weirded out because of the spiritual implications of what we're doing.
That's true. They don't like that?
Well, they get freaked out. You see, so much of our education has been to the point of not asking these kinds of questions without going into a holier-than-thou attitude, either way. Holier-than-thou, thou shalt not talk about religion or science or religion and spirituality in the same tone, or there is no God, blah, 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 blah. You know, that kind of dogmatic attitude, which a lot of physicists tend to take into their way of thinking because they're so used to logical, rational kinds of reasoning, and they simply close their minds to it. Or the other way, if you're going to talk about religion, you have to go into the whole thing. You got to go to church, you got to go to temple, you got to go to this place or another place, and that's the only place where religion exists. You can't have it on an everyday basis. So this is really changing, and I think that when you try to separate these two parts of us, the spiritual, the heartfelt feeling for the way the things work from the mind, the intellectual, logical, rational way of being, when you keep those so separated from each other, you tend to break down. You become relatively unhappy with your life. I'm a pretty happy guy.
Yeah.
And I'm relatively happy because I don't see any break here. I'm intellectually as capable as anybody. And I'm as spiritually aware as anybody, including anybody you want to mention. Any holier than thou you want to mention, I'm as spiritually aware as that guy. And I don't care who he is, whether he's the Dalai Lama or whoever you want to call. I'm as aware as that guy is spiritually, and I'm as smart as any physicist is. I may not know exactly every calculation that every physicist does, but I have all the rationality to do what I need to do, and everybody has that. I'm no exception. I'm nothing special. Everybody has that. And so my job is to awaken people to the fact that you are special. You can do this stuff. You can bridge the gap. And when you start bridging that gap, an aliveness starts to occur in you, and the fear of either one of those ways of thinking dissipates. And you're no longer afraid to talk about this stuff or to think rationally or to think about spirituality and have them both together at once without any fear of being made a fool.
When we talk about quantum physics, and I try to ask so many physicists this, hoping that they will give us an explanation that we non-physicists can understand. How do you explain it, Fred?
Well, quantum physics was invented. First, I have to caution everybody. Physics is the invention of human minds. Even though we lay out our invention as a kind of a map, It ain't the territory. It's a map of the territory. It's how we think the world is behaving. And so it goes way back when to the early Greeks, and maybe even earlier than that to the ancient Egyptians. I'm not sure how far back we're going to find physical thinking or rational kind of logical thinking about the way the universe is constructed. But nevertheless, it is a map, not the territory. And so what physics does is it creates a vision of the world in which we see things a certain way. We tend, however, and this happens to all of us, to get confused by replacing the map, the territory, with the map. And we start to lay out the map, and before long, we're not seeing the territory anymore. That's one of the problems.
All right, let's talk about, you have said there are three important discoveries in the last 20 years about quantum physics. Let's go through them, first of all, Fred. And then, of course, as we get into your work, time loops and space twists, we will really begin to wow some people about this relationship between science and what many people call God. But what are these three aspects that you say are superb discoveries?
Okay, well, there are three basic ones. Okay, let's talk about the first one. The first one simply states that the universe, that's the big thing out there, is not made of solid hunks of matter, even though it looks like it is, but it is actually made from acts of consciousness. It's A-C-T-S, not A-X.
Yeah.
Acts of consciousness that are brought to bear upon it. That's the first one. We'll go into that. Let me go to the second one.
All right.
Second one is there is a field out there, a kind of a, what appears to be, as we look at it more closely, a field of mind. And this field of mind is as necessary for there be matter, energy, whatever, light, as light, energy itself are needed. It's very necessary to have this field of mind. Some physicists are calling it now the Higgs field, and I'll go into why this definition came up. So that's the second part. There's okay. This mind field. The third one is that everything that we see, everything that's there, everything that we call physical reality is ultimately made of particles of light. I call them luxon, L-U-X-O-N, because sometimes when I use the word light, people start to think I only mean the light that we see with our eyes.
Right. So
there's luxonic stuff all around us. Electrons are fundamentally luxonic, which means they move at the speed of light. Light that we see is luxonic. It moves at the speed of light. The quarks make up the nucleus. They also fundamentally are luxonic, but they get embedded in a field of other kinds of light called gluons inside the nucleus. This is all gets very complicated very quickly, but nevertheless, the fundamental makeup is these things called luxon.
Would dark energy
are also part of that too?
Would dark energy be part of that?
That's a good question, and there is some possibility that dark energy could be something having to do with, you might say, information coming from the future.